Hey everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and I'm back. We're back. You're back, I don't know why, for another Drunken Dangerous, and it's The Whore Next Door Part 2. Now, I'm going to be totally honest. I don't know if I was really high last time or if I'm really high this time, but you know, my Kindle opened it up to the last page and I was like, I don't remember any of this. And I kept going back and I'm like, where did I leave off? And no, it was right. I just do not remember. Now, is it because I don't remember from before or my brain is just malfunctioning now? Who knows? I'm excited to find out what's happening. I remember vaguely because of the movie, probably more than what I read. What I apparently read. So here we go. You probably remember it better than me. In case you don't remember, we last left off with "Give me this, mafucka." The robber snatched the expensive-looking watch off Mr. Malloy's wrist, leaving him to die. Mr. Malloy grabbed the man's face, tearing through the stocking cap and leaving a scratch right above the very distinguished mole that he had over his left eye. The mole had a little cap on it and a little one of those monocles, because, you know, two glasses is like classless. Who wants that? No, I want somebody who's got a monocle. You only have one messed up eye. Like, what? Stop flexing on me with my two fucked up eyes. I get it. You're better than me, Mr. Peanut. Fine. Anyway, his mole is very fancy, is what I'm trying to say. That's where we last left off. Or you did, maybe, if you listened to it, because I haven't re-listened to it, except for the very end where I was like, my God, we did read the whole thing. Okay. Because I consider you here with me right now. We're all reading it together and suffering. It's one of those misery loves company situations. You know, I wouldn't be doing this if you weren't here with me, listening and suffering as well. It feeds the sadistic part of the sadomasochistic urge, you know. So here we go, continuing on from the robbery, I guess, you know. Here we go. Aw, that is sad, Canary said out loud, refocusing her thoughts to the Lifetime movie that she was watching. Same bitch. Aw, that is sad, I thought, thinking about myself wasting my life watching Lifetime movies. When she heard the doorbell ring. I know that's not glad, she said. Like, referring to the cling wrap. No, referring to her version of her husband's nickname. Like, you don't call him Fuckface. It's my version of your nickname. I hope he didn't lose his key. I guess she's thinking it. There's no, and this is no, like, David Braemar Moon people shit. If it's not in quotations, it's not fucking speech. You're thinking it. She reluctantly got up and looked out the window to see if her husband's car was there, because she knew he was a practical joker. Right. Oh, I ended chapter one, didn't I? There was she wobbled to the door, which, like, that gets me. She wobbled? Why did she wobble? And there was a woman there with a pan in her hands. And then we're on chapter two. And I believe this is the introduction of the whore. Homewrecking, as she will. She lives next door. I mean, I feel like if she was actually, like, she's more like the slut next door, right? If she's not actually selling her wares, because, like, I feel like a whore next door might fuck a husband, but she wouldn't steal him. That's purely business, right? Like, she'd also fuck the wife. She'd fuck anybody. She's a whore, right? She'd do it for money. If you're not repulsive and, you know, obviously fit the criteria, she'd fuck you for the right price. Whereas the slut is probably more like, you know, conniving in this situation, since she's a slut next door. But then I think maybe the now hear me out. Whore is a much, like, more derogatory term than slut. Right? Like, slut is more like free and open, and Whore is more like, yeah, you're such a slut, you charge for it, which is weird, you know, but it's like a harsher word. So maybe it's like, you know, the slut next door is more like, ah, yeah, she's fucking everybody, versus the whore next door, like, oh, she wants your money for the sex. She's bad, you know? But like, I don't know, maybe you're a really bad fuck and you should be paying people if you considered that. Grade yourself next time. And you're like, next time, someone's feeling generous. Now, okay, so we're on chapter two. The introduction of the slore, because like, she's more, if she tries to steal him, is she really a whore? Is he paying her? Is my general thing. I have a problem. I'm being very pedantic. I know you're like, but who? I care, okay? Do I have to pay you at the end or not? We need to establish this. I only have like $10 and like, I haven't gotten my debit card in the mail yet, okay? It's going to be real awkward. I don't want to have a talk with a pimp. So can we just, are you a slut? And then they slap you and walk away. It's never, like, don't listen to Andrew Tate, okay? All right. Don't mind my tangent. Sadly, this will be the best part. No. Chapter two. Oh yeah, this has to be the whore, right? So she's gotta try to sound like she's real slutty, you know? Good morning, Mr. Davis. This is like really ridiculous, you know? The brunette haired woman, as opposed to just a brunette woman, like you think her whole body is the color of brown hair. I feel like, holy shit, she was just brown head to toe. Like the blonde woman, she's just like blonde hair color. That's terrifying. That's like a skin color head to toe. Miss me with that. The brunette-haired woman greeted Glad-Eye as she... I feel like Glad-Eye should be the name of, like, the Target mascot, right? I don't know why. Like, that dog with the... It's that's your name, right? As she almost broke her neck to race to the other... I hope that's hyperbole. Because, ma'am, why are you whipping your neck as you run? Okay, either you're like the Flash and your neck hasn't caught up with your legs, in which case you should really learn to manage your power, or you're whipping the fuck out of your neck as you run, and how the fuck are you doing that? But see, this is why we need PE in classes. You're going to end up with people trying to run and breaking their neck. I don't know how you do it, but somehow. Like suicides are like she ran and broke her neck because she ran so fast. I'm like, sounds like a bad excuse, you know? Like, be honest, was this some kind of sex-related injury? Like, why are you lying to me so hard? To race to the other side of her cubicle to hand him his messages. Damn, calm your thirst, bitch. Morning, Glad-Eye said, smiling as he looked at the overzealous receptionist, who was still gripping his hand. Okay, so I know he's supposed to be clearing his throat, but they wrote it out as E-hum. E-E-H-U-M. E-hum. Glad-Eye cleared his throat. But they had to write the E-hum, which I like. E-hum. E-hum-any. Sorry. Glad-Eye cleared his throat and looked down at his hand. Oh, he has notes on like how to deal with the receptionist on his hand. I did that in middle school too. E-hum. And then he looks at his hand. He's like, yeah, I'm smooth. Just wanted to make sure you got all of your messages, Sabrina chuckled, as she let go of his hand and bit down on her lips seductively. Well, thank you, ma'am, Glad-Eye said, as he continued walking to his plush office. It's like a padded cell. Pillows on the walls, like, everyone has to, they always had to keep, like, a 6-foot distance, even before COVID. What the fuck, software install? Leave me alone. My phone's like, what? You took 2 seconds to talk? Fuck you. Yeah, you will install that next month, you little bitch. God, so rude. Jesus. Keep talking like this. Next phone will be an iPhone, you little fuck. Yeah, that'll learn him. So much for being subtle. Glad-Eye thought as he sat in his chair and shook his head. Glad I loved his new position as executive VP of marketing. Although he missed his friends and coworkers at his old office in Richmond, Virginia, he loved the reception and the welcome that they were giving him at his new location in Virginia Beach. Except for the literal receptionist who apparently almost breaks her neck when she's moving about the office every day, which would be very concerning, you know. Damn, I love my view, he thought, as he got a clear view of his secretary's kitty. Wow, this is a porn. We've morphed straight to Pornhub fantasy land. Where the secretary with the wobbly, unstable, calcium-deficient neck is bending over and showing him her vagina. Because, you know, he's the VP, so now he gets the vagina shot. Before that, it was panties only. But now he's upgraded in his sexual marketplace value. See, I told you, I follow you the Andrew Tate course of calling women sluts and whores, and how to get to jail, part two. I'm innocent. Hashtag, I said they were sluts. You can't trust a slut. Anyway, I'm not saying he's guilty, but he basically said himself every day, hey, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of this. Look how guilty I am. And then he gets caught and he's like, it's a setup, you guys. When I said I was like a pimp, I was like, it was talking about being a cool dude. Look at my hat. It's got a feather. I have bell bottoms. I'm so 70s. I also hit women. Anyway, his secretary's vagina, or is the literal cat. Maybe she's just, he's got a good view of the cat, which honestly would totally be a perk for me. I'm such a dork. If I had like a glass window view of somebody's, like, cat's playroom. Like, come on, a little kitten, like, playing all day, and, like, you're having a hard day, and you look up, and there's this, like, little sweet, silly-looking kitten just, like, playing with a ball. Like, come on, tell me that wouldn't make your day better. It would. You know it would. It's, like, the best thing ever. I don't want to see your gross vagina move. You're getting in the way of the actual cat. Say, if I want vagina, I can go online. It's not desperate, by the way. There's no weird, like, implication for noticing said vagina. Get it out of here. Why are you aerating? Are you leaving fucking trails on our furniture, ma'am? As an owner of a vagina, what the fuck? Those things clean themselves and that stuff has to go... That's what underwear is for, you disgusting bitch. I swear to God, you better not wear that same skirt tomorrow, because if you do, I'm instituting an underwear rule and I don't care if it's weird. You're sexually harassing me, the boss. Anyway... Long story short, that better be a fucking cat or I am lodging a complaint with HR, you fucking freak, you weird, weird soft-necked freak, you little newborn baby-necked freaky motherfucker. How soft is that skull? I'm scared now. Wear a helmet. I'm afraid you might injure yourself if you fall. Fine, fucking tripping over in your desperation. Your nasty, open vagina. Jesus Christ. Who is bending down knowingly, giving him a show. Since she conveniently forgot to wear any panties. She's blue waffling him right there. He stood up and adjusted his blinds so he could see out into the open bay. But no one could see into his office. So he's jacking it, right? Like, that's pretty convenient for him. That's why he got the one-way mirroring. His mind immediately ran to a few weeks prior, how he had actually gotten to this point. Ooh, it's in italics, so we're in the past. Now you can imagine in black and white, because we've gone in the past. Like, so put that in your mind right now while I take a sip of this drink. Even though I'm thirsty, but I'm not as thirsty as that bitch. I mean, you heard his name, right? And his nickname's Fuckface, so you know he's not that great. Anyway, in the past, before the vagina. Okay. He was shocked when he got the buzz in his office. He was told to report to the director of marketing by the close of the business day. Knock, knock, Glad-Eye said as he... knocked on his boss's door. I guess he needs to make sure you know what that is. No one, maybe they think I'm testing the solidness of this door. I'm not here to test your door, sir. I'm knocking on it. No one responded, so he walked in and found his boss, Mr. Jackson, in a compromising position with Garfield. I hope it was the cat, but it's not. The mailman. He only got the position because the guy was afraid he'd be blackmailed. I mean, don't get me wrong. I totally take the position because, hell yeah, I'm not going to blackmail you. But if you'll give it to me out of fear, I will absolutely take it. But now I can't help but think of, like, a human-sized Garfield the cat with, like, a mailman uniform. And he's just giving it to the cat man. I mean, maybe he's a furry. Who knows? But that's how I'm imagining it. Why did you name him Garfield? That or, like, the president? And wasn't he, like, a fat old man with a mustache? Because they, like, all had mustaches back then. So I think of either a fat old president or a giant cat that looks like Garfield. It's not an attractive furry. Okay, so get that out of your head right now. And he's just shtupping the fucking cat. And no wonder he's like, oh my God, he saw me fuck this giant cat. He's VP now. Vice President of Please Don't Tell My Wife About the Cat. Oh shit, he thought, as he tried to back out of the door, but not before he accidentally knocked over the garbage can. Of course, he's fucking a cat in the back alley, right? Startling the two. Mr. Davis, his boss said, jumping up from his knees. Of course he was on his knees. He was fucking a cat, and cats are small. My God. Excuse me, Garfield said, shooting by Glad-Eye, zipping up his pants and avoiding eye contact with Glad-Eye as he walked right out of the door. Oh, the boss was receiving, I see. It was a cat door. He just walked out of the flap. Mr. Jackson, did you ask to see me? He wanted you to watch. Glad-Eye asked, struggling to find the right words. You fuck cats now? Have a seat, Mr. Jackson ordered as he... Like, are you even going to clean yourself up, bro? I mean, he was fucking your ass, right? Like, I feel like you should maybe go to the bathroom first. Like, don't just pull your pants up over that, right? Like, there's some... I'm just... Even if with an enema, like, maybe you should... I already know you were fucking him. Like, you're not going to unfuck that cat. So maybe take a second so I don't have to think about, like, what's happening in that area, because I won't not be able to think about it. It's like an intrusive thought, right? Like, you're like, oh my God, don't think about the fact that you just saw your boss taking it from the mailman who's named after the cat, and that's all you're going to think about, right? Don't think about the elephant in the room. Like, the elephant in the room is your boss's leaking asshole, okay? I can't not think about that. Thanks a lot for that. Like, pay for my therapy at least. My God. Because every boss I can think of has not been someone I'd want to see bent over on the floor taking it up the butt, okay? No offense to them. They were perfectly lovely people, most of them. But they were also just not the type, you know? You know, it's never like the porn where you're like, oh, my sexy, like super sexy person is about to take advantage. Like, that's not how that works. It's always the weirdos. And you're like, no. But that's not like a fantasy. It's gross and weird. Anyway, so I'd be like, I feel like if you can ever tell your boss, please clean your ass, it's now. It's now you're allowed to use your dominance to say, I'm uncomfortable with the state of your butthole if I'm going to be sitting this close to you in an enclosed room, okay? You've already assaulted my eyes. Please don't assault my other senses, okay? I don't want to wake up with that scent in my nose at like 2 a.m. sweating from some nightmare fever dream. Mr. Jackson, you know me better than that. At least pull out a fucking air freshener and Febreze that shit. All right. Anyway, that's why I have to work for myself now. Mr. Jackson blacklisted. That's how you don't use your blackmail material to your advantage, kids. You just go on a rant about his leaky asshole, and then you're dead to the whole industry. I was me too, I swear, you guys. Okay. Anyway, he's like, have a seat. He walked over to the door and closed it. Mr. Jackson walked to his desk and sat down. As you know, there is a new position available as Assistant Director of Marketing. I'd plan to inform you that I was giving... Oh, he's even just telling him I'm, like, giving this position to you because you saw me in the middle of sex. Cool. He's just flat out like, this is because of the blackmail, so... I'd planned to inform you that I was giving the assistant director position to Chuck Robinson, but... Sir, glad I interrupted. I did not see anything. In light of everything that has happened today, Mr. Jackson continued, completely ignoring GladEye, I am prepared to make you executive VP of marketing. GladEye was stunned. Sir, he continued, you don't have... He started, but was cut off by Mr. Jackson again. It pays $120,000 a year, Mr. Jackson said, baiting GladEye like a fish. When do I start? GladEye asked. With that, he and his wife relocated to Virginia Beach, which was almost 2 hours away from his hometown of Richmond. 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 We're out of the past. We're out of italics. We're free. I need to take off this wearable blanket. I'm sweating. Like GladEye looking at his secretary's vagina. Ah. Oh, I was sweating like a slur in front of Andrew Tate. Excuse me. Okay. Where were we? Oh, yeah. We're out of italics, baby. Now, almost 2 weeks later, he sat in his new plush office. What fucking luck. He joked to himself as he sat at his desk. That's not a joke. How is that a joke? You have a terrible sense of humor, sir. He's like, I'm such a comedian. I was lucky, haha. As he sat at his desk, reminiscing of how his life took a drastic turn. As a marketing assistant, he made nearly half of what he was making now. And he was finally able to open up a bank account. What? Wait. You're making... He said it was... You were making $60,000 a year and you didn't have a bank account? Also, I get the joke. It's fucking luck. I get it because they were fucking... Okay, still terrible. Terrible dad joke. What the shit? You don't... Do you have a kid yet? Probably. I mean, we're not in italics anymore, right? And she was pregnant. Anyway, I'm really getting stuck at the he had $60,000 a year in income and didn't have a bank account. Where were they sending it? Were you getting checks? Like, were they put it out to cash? How did you go this far without having a fucking bank account? How old are you? Like, aren't you in your 30s or something? How did this happen? You were failed. What the shit? He was able to open up a bank account thanks to the manila envelope that was left in his top drawer with over $10,000 cash of hush money. To ensure that he didn't repeat what he saw in his boss's office. Wait, when they say when he doesn't repeat what he saw, it makes it sound like he's going to let Garfield fuck him in the ass because he needs to repeat it. He's like, no, Garfield's my man. Here's $10,000. Don't repeat it. I swear, please. I need that dick. Now we have the little change of scenery. Tan stood in front of the door, fidgeting with a pan of baked lasagna. What the fuck? You're fidgeting with the lasagna? When she heard... Yeah, Garfield's coming over for a bite. When she heard the woman's voice on the other side of the door asking who was at the door. Oh, yeah, it's this is the whore. This is the whore. It wasn't Sabrina. She's just the secondary whore. This is the primary whore. It's Tan, your next-door neighbor. She then heard the lock clicking on the door as it was opened. Tan, comma, was curious as to what the girl she called the screamer looked like. I'm guessing because she screams during sex, but I like to imagine she just goes out there at 3 a.m. and shrieks for like 15 minutes and goes back to bed just every night. Although she had peeped out of the window many times to get a look at her neighbor, it was nothing like seeing her in person for real. She could finally put a face to the screams. Like, it works so well either way. She's like, oh God, she's capable of speech. Tan couldn't believe that Canary was due any day. Oh, that's why she was wobbling. Okay. Although she was full term, she carried it really well, she thought. The two women, well, she was wobbling. It's not that well, right? Really well would be like normal walking, but she wobbled like an egg. So really, don't, you know, like fluff her up, you know, that's not what we're here for. The two women talked until Canary's husband came home later that evening. Tan thought, as Glad-Eye walked in the door in his business suit. To her, he was looking fine, and the bulge in his pants made him look even better. Yeah, he's got like a packer. Babe, this is our neighbor Tan, Canary said to her husband after kissing him and directing him towards Tan. He was sitting in a chair right by the front door. Hello, Tan said, standing up with her hands extended. Do you expect two handshakes at once? Wait, you probably want a hug. This is why I don't have friends. I'm the robot who's just like, dual handshake, done. Oh God, I failed. I failed immediately. I'm just imagining this weird, like, stiff-armed, how do you do? And then what do you even do? Do you shake one hand? Do you shake the other hand? Do you shake them both? Let's see. Oh, yeah. Hello, Glad-Eye responded as he shook her hand. Oh, wait, so he did shake her hand. So the fuck are both of your hands extended? What are you, a Barbie doll? What is this? Okay, so I'm not crazy. That's weird as shit. What'd she do with her other hand? Did she hover hand him? What is that? I'm so confused. Her hands were extended. Maybe one wasn't out. Maybe the other one was just up and like waving in happiness. I don't know. I've a lot of questions about the direction of these hands. So this is the man that puts it down in the bedroom so thoroughly. She thought to herself. It's technically but that just sounds really dumb. She thought to herself. She thought to herself as Glad-Eye excused himself and walked to their bedroom. After talking with Tan for about an hour, oh no, no more abouts anymore, Canary was ready to pull a Martin and put her out. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Not really because of anything she said, just more of wanting some of that stuff that Glad-Eye had waiting for her in their room. Is it crack cocaine? Because when you say that stuff, I don't think sex, I think drugs. I'm like, he's got your stuff in the bedroom. Are you going to go smoke some meth and like fuck for 8 hours? I feel like you are. The stuff isn't his dick, right? Like that's drugs. Like, come on. Does anyone else be like, hey, baby, come to the bedroom. I got the stuff ready for you. And it's your dick. Like that's there better be coke on that dick. Like, what do you mean the stuff? The stuff? Like, am I wrong? Am I totally wrong with my understanding of slang here? Because I've never called somebody's sex or having sex with somebody getting their stuff or getting the stuff they have waiting for me. But then again, like, in the live, there was the erotic that said, like, they dumped in me, which they put their dump in me. That was it. They put their dump in me, which that's not a thing people say, right? Just like you don't say, I'm going to get the stuff you have. You got the stuff, right? Like, that's not sex. Hey, man, you got the stuff. And he, like, opens his trench coat and his dick falls out. And he's like, yeah, that's the stuff. And he just starts fucking it. I don't know. I'm confused. This is like porn life, because the secretary bent over and apparently he wanted to see this weird, you know, loose neck bitch's vagina. I don't know why. I'd be more like, should she be wearing like some kind of brace or something? I'm really concerned. Like, don't run, walk. Like pool rules, you know, walk at all times. Anyway, I don't know what pulling a Martin is. And I just, yeah, the stuff he's got waiting. Damn, I don't mean, wait, it's a girl. Damn, I don't mean no harm, but damn, this chick can talk. Shit, I know she got an apartment she need to get to it. She need to get to it. Canary thought to herself while smiling outwardly the entire time. Don't be passive-aggressive. Just tell her. Goddamn, it's called communication. I don't feel bad for you. Communicate. Use your words. You're a fucking adult. Just like clockwork, as though she could read Canary's mind. Oh, good. She's a mutant. You don't need to say anything. Tan stood up and headed for the door. Shit. I know what they're about to do. I need to carry my ass so that the games can begin. Tan said to herself. The games? What? What in the I have no life is going on? Just play WoW like the rest of us, okay? Don't do this shit. What the hell is this? The games have begun? No. There's no games. Don't be fucking weird. Is it Squid Games? I mean, I wouldn't play, but I'd watch it be played. Game of, that fucking show was entertaining as hell. Later on that night, Glad Eye was lying in the bed, patiently waiting for his beautiful wife to come join him and his big friend. Is that what he's calling his dick? Or are they having, I don't think it's a threesome, but God, I wish. Like, he's got a friend who's like 8 feet tall. he's got a really big, very, very tall, very wide friend. And, but his big friend, like, I gotta say, anybody having a dick out here, big friend isn't the erotic term you might think it is. Just like, get the stuff, I've gotten my big friend ready, makes you sound like you're a child. Like, you can't use the word. Like, you don't have to say, I have my penis, my erect penis is ready to receive, you know, whatever. It's not that, but you don't have to use, like, your big friend. Oh, is that your big friend? Like, no, it's his penis. Come on. His big friend. Like, I really hope he's just got a really big. I just wanted to introduce you to my friend. Damn, he thought as he lay on his bed, stroking his rod. Fishing rod? That seemed to get bigger with every stroke. That's how an erection works. It usually gets bigger. I guess you're a grower. Shit. Shit. Damn, I hope he's asleep by the time that I come out. Is fucking him that bad, lady? Damn, I hope he's asleep by the time that I come out, Canary thought as she closed the lid on the toilet seat, sat down and looked around the medium-sized bathroom. What is medium to you? What's that look like? She rested her pretty face in her hands. Oh, God, I thought it was gonna be the toilet for a second. Fuck. You're just saying bathroom, and I'm like, where did she press her pretty face? Is this a fetish thing? In her hands. Lately, she had been running into nothing but bad luck. She got up of the toilet, tiptoed to the door, and cracked it. Sure enough, he was dead to the world. Her hands, he fell asleep that fast. Did he even come yet? Or is he asleep with his big friend in his hand? Sure enough, he was dead to the world. Her hands gripped the cold metal blade that lay in her robe. What, is she going to kill him? The way robbers lay in the cut. Canary quietly walked toward the bed where Glad Eye laid, oblivious to her presence. Or at least that's what she thought. Is she going to kill him? She's going to kill him. Okay. You know, Glad Eye is kind of an asshole who stares at his secretary's vagina. But I don't think you should murder him. Like, I've seen a lot of true crime. You all know. If you've listened to me, you know I watch a lot of true crime. I know how to try to get away with murder. This is not it. Stabbing somebody in the house where you live is the exact way to get caught quite immediately. It is actually the worst idea. Murder isn't general. You know, don't solve your problems with murder is the general takeaway, right? It's not worth it. Use your emotional intelligence to, you know, calm yourself down. You're not a fucking animal. But at the same time, if you're going to kill someone, my God, this is the worst, like, and also if you use a knife, you're really likely to hurt yourself as well. And so even if you're like, I'm going to wear gloves, it doesn't matter. You're going to cut yourself. People fight back. It's stupid. Anyway, all I'm saying is if you're going to commit murder, don't be this dumb. My God. And you're a pregnant woman. What are the odds you're going to get? You're a pregnant lady. He can fight back. Stupid murder. Stupid. I know, like, I'm more disappointed than she's doing it poorly. But, like, it's such a dumb idea. Like, people that do that, obviously, passion of the moment, they're not thinking clearly, but I'm going, okay, this isn't going to work. Just flat out, no, it's not going to work. This is the worst idea ever. I'm tired of this N-I-G-G-A. I'm not saying it. I'm white. I'm not saying it. No, I'm not. You're going to, nobody's getting me there. I'm tired of this N, she thought, as she stood over him with a look of deep hatred in her eyes. Slowly, her hand slid out of her pocket with the razor in tow. Ring. The sound startled her. It's three R's, all caps, and an ING. Is it supposed to be a phone? Ring. I don't know what it's supposed to be. I thought at first it was a sound the razor made, like it was really loud for some reason. She pulls it out and it's like, ring! You know, and he just wakes up to like shriek. The sound startled her, causing the blade to almost severing her in. That went worse than I thought, you guys. She almost cut her finger off, apparently. To almost severing her index finger. And this didn't happen in the movie, by the way. I don't think. I don't remember it. I think I would remember this, but I don't. And instantly waking GladEye out of a sound sleep. Oh, shit! GladEye said as he sat up erect in his bed. It's okay, bae. Canary lied as she rubbed her husband's hair with one hand while the other bled profusely. You're not even trying to be like, oh my God, I cut myself. You're like, I'm just going to pretend it's not happening. That's way more suspicious. Holy shit. She could feel the wetness of her blood as it soaked her robe pocket. Oh, it was a phone. Okay. It was a phone. Who the hell is this? He asked out loudly as he grabbed the receiver to his landline. Are you 100? What the fuck you doing calling me on my home phone? I don't give a fuck about... He started, but then he realized his wife was lying next to him. She's laying down? Bitch, tend to your wound. You will not be able to hide the fact you almost cut your finger off from him. Are you going to, like, wear a glove the rest of your life? What the shit? It's just, I'm going to lose the finger, and I'm just going to deal with the blood loss and almost dying, and I'm going to pretend it never happened. I'll craft a new one out of Play-Doh and wear it all day. He won't notice. He's too busy staring at his secretary. Anyway, he's lying next to him. I don't care. He said in a stage whisper as he looked over his shoulders in an attempt to not alarm Canary, who was now growing weak from the massive loss of blood. This went again so much worse than I thought it would. She's handling this way worse than I thought she would. She's not even trying to tourniquet the wound. You know, just tie something tight. Like, let's, in case you're put in this situation where you've tried to murder a loved one and instead got startled by their landline? Question mark? They have, for some reason, an elderly loved one you're trying to murder. And you pull out your razor and you accidentally almost cut your finger off. Excuse yourself to the restroom and try to find a hair tie and then wind it very, very tight around your finger, lower than the cut, as tight as you can get it to cut off the blood flow, and then be like, hey, I accidentally cut my finger trying to make food in the middle of the night. I was craving what the fuck ever, and go to the hospital. Do not lay in bed and try to hide your massive wound until you bleed to death. To hide the fact you were trying to kill them, I guess? Which, I didn't know she was murder-minded, you know? I feel like it kind of, if I was glad, I'd be surprised. Anyway, she's growing weak. Maybe you should leave her for the whore next door. I'm actually starting to think maybe she's a better choice. She's probably not going to try, probably, question mark, not going to try to stab him. I don't know. I'm losing too much blood. I have to stop the bleeding without GladEye finding out. But you're going to need to get it sewed back on, right? Like, that's not a kind of cut you can just... You said you almost severed it, like, entirely. You can't... You, like, cut through the bone, right? Like, you can't ignore that. That's not... You can't just fix that with dreams and hopes and wishes. she thought. Desperate to conceal her injury, Canary rushed out of the bed and into the bathroom, immediately grabbing a towel in an effort to stop the bleeding. After rushing out of the bathroom like a bat out of hell, Glad-Eye panicked when he saw the blood-soaked towel around his wife's hand and immediately rushed her to the hospital. How she thought he would never know blows my mind. He didn't even think to ask what happened. Not even an hour after he rushed Canary into the hospital, she was walking out 44 stitches healthier. Again, no fucking shit. The doctor told Glad-Eye that only a ligament held the finger together. Again, I say, how did you even think for a moment you're going to be able to hide your little ligament dangling? Well, okay. I say that, but his secretary does almost break her neck when she runs. So maybe he's used to some pretty fucked up shit medically, and he has a really warped perception of what's healthy and normal. I can see that now. Okay. And now we're going dot, dot, dot. We're in Tan's mind now. Shit, Tan thought, lying in her bed, wide awake. These motherfuckers ain't doing nothing. I thought for sure this motherfucker would be laying that big-ass pipe on her. She was just waiting for the fuck so she could masturbate. Girl, she does know about pornography, right? Tan exclaimed to herself, thinking of the print that she saw in Glad-Eye's pants early that day was enough to make her panties moist. She got up and put on soft music. This is a man who has never been a woman masturbating. Who the fuck puts on mood music to masturbate? Maybe you do. I've literally never. Mood music for whom? Soft music? Soft, like soft jazz to finger yourself to? Oh no, she put on soft music. She got back in the bed and started fingering her middle. Can you stop saying these things like you're 10 again? Stop it. Stop it right now. Could you imagine going to a gynecologist like, all right, let's see your middle. Oh, God. You can go to a doctor. All right, let's see your big friend here. In her head, she imagined her finger was Glad-Eye's rod. It's the size of a finger, apparently. As she wildly stroked her needy middle. Good job, you made masturbation sound so horrible. It had been a good 10 months since Tan felt a real man inside of her, I suppose the plastic man. And she knew that it would not be too long before she had Glad-Eye all in her pussy. It doesn't seem hard. He doesn't mind being sexually harassed by his secretary, you know. And I'd hold it against him, but his wife just tried to stab him in the middle of the night, so maybe they should just get divorced. I don't know. Maybe just in this relationship altogether, you know, because I feel like if she's already ready to stab him, cheating is not a good idea. Okay. She's already about to stab you, you know. Although she didn't know it, but she was becoming severely obsessed. She was becoming severely obsessed with her new neighbors. How did she not know it? Ooh, shit, she moaned out loudly as she bit her bottom lip so hard that she drew blood. Why? Yes! Oh my God! She screamed as she heavily came on her finger. Early the next morning, Tan stood in the middle of her tiny dining room watching as Glad-Eye left for work. She practically knew her neighbor's schedule better than she knew her own. She intently watched the impeccably clad man as he walked to his car, got in, then drove off. Not even 10 minutes after Glad-Eye's car pulled out of the parking lot did Tan find herself at Canary's door. Knock, knock. Oh, look, they're a perfect match. They both say it. Tan said as she pushed open her bestie's front door. Bitch, you best not be pushing open my door. Also, why isn't it not locked in the middle of the day? I always lock my door. Oh my God, my door is faulty. I'm in here. Canary called out, recognizing her new friend's voice. It had been about 3 months since they moved from Richmond, Virginia. Although her friend seemed a little strange, there seemed to be a special connection between the two. Canary welcomed the company because once her husband left for work, she was basically in the apartment all alone. Also, are we not going to address the fact she tried to stab him? Are we glossing over this? Because I feel like maybe that's what happened in the movie and that's why I forgot it because they glossed over it and it effectively worked. Gaslighting. Okay. She was a working woman, but as soon as she started showing, glad I made her quit. That's unhealthy. Now she was forced to sit at home and find ways to basically entertain herself, like plan to end her husband's life. Shit. If I lived the life you lived, the type of husband that you have, shit, I'd have it made. Tan said while her arms moved wildly with her every word. How high are you, Tan? She got the stuff all right. She wants the stuff. She's on the stuff. Maybe, you know, when you don't know what to do with your hands, that's what not to do. That's a not to do with your hands. Especially because that sentence didn't seem as if it required wild gesticulation, but I've never been tan, so how would I know? Girl, we're getting ready to get this big-ass house in the Princess Sane section of Virginia Beach. You know where Missy and all those other celebrities live? Canary said, eating up all the attention and praises that Tan was throwing her way. For real? Tan asked with envy. This bitch, she mumbled to herself before noticing Canary's bandaged hand. Damn, what the hell happened to your hand, girlfriend? Yeah, girl, Canary continued, as if she never heard Tan. She's just ignoring her. We've just been saving money and waiting for the right time. She's not like, so I tried to kill my husband, and like, the phone rang. We've been just saving money and waiting for the right time. After I have the baby, we're going to start the house hunt. Okay, Tan thought. Now I know this bitch heard me. Wow. Is this what, like, they say frenemies are? Because, like, I've never had a relationship like this, but it's something, all right. Watch out, Tan. She'll stab you. This woman is insane. This bitch got everything. The great husband, great sex life, money, cars. I don't think she deserved to have none of this shit. And trust, it ain't gonna be long before everything she possessed becomes mine. I won't stop until I possess everything she has. Mwaha! She didn't laugh, but she should have, right? Like, that's villain-esque, right? Everybody's chewing on their lips. She chewed on her bottom lip. Leave your lip alone. You just bit it to bleeding. How are you gonna seduce somebody with your chewed-up, bloody-ass lip? Wait. He speaks like an elementary school student. That'll be right up his alley. Chewed on her bottom lip as she was consumed with envy. Ugh, okay, Tan said, not paying attention to any of that shit that Canary just said. Of course. This time, grabbing Canary's injured hand. Wow! You go straight to abusive violence! Holy shit! She grabbed her hand. Tan forced her to answer. Girl, I cut it trying to shave my legs. Canary lied as she cupped her mouth as if what she was trying to say was a secret. Shit! Ha ha! Tan buzzed out laughing. What the fuck have you been using? A motherfucking machete? She barked as she laughed out loudly. Oh, ow, ow, ow. She's barking, I don't know. No, seriously, Canary objected. I was shaving in the bathroom. And my leg accidentally hit the cabinet, and my vase went crashing to the floor, and it scared the shit out of me, so I jumped and ended up cutting my finger, she said. She lied. Sorry. We already knew she lied, but we need to know. It is a lie. She knows she's lying. See, we've already now proven mens rea, okay? And she can't even claim insanity. She knows what she did is wrong. Case closed. Lady, you've done a terrible job. Yeah, and Drake is my baby father. I love her voice for this so much. She sounds so white and I love it. Tan said under her breath, yeah, and Drake is my baby father. Would you want him to be Drake? His obsessive ass? Hell no. When I read about Drake, you do not want that. He seems so clingy, right? He's clingy. He seems like he'd be the clingiest, weirdest motherfucker. No. Mm-mm. I'm sorry, that was total aside. But, like, no. As days turned to weeks and weeks turned to months, Canary and Tan became stuck to each other like glue. How you hate each other? What? She squeezed your hurting hand to get you to answer her, and you're like, this is the one. I'm thinking maybe you have unhealthy attachment issues, ma'am. Even though Tan could be overbearing at times, it was something about her that made Canary want to stay around. She was like the sister that she never had. She was a genuinely nice person, Canary thought, but little did she know Tan definitely had ulterior motives for befriending her. It was just a matter of time before the truth was revealed. And that's the end of chapter 2. Thank you for joining me for another insane fucking chapter of The Whore Next Door. Hopefully you will join me again next week for installment number 3, where we see if Tan gets Gladeye all up in her kitty. Until then, will we? Who knows? Hopefully you'll be all up in my drunken dangerous next time. Join me then, and I'll see you next week. Mwah! Bye, guys.